We'll be testing together in number 131 in the last book. Check the first one.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Thy name we love, Lord Jesus. And I was amazed the first time I saw this verse. It says, who shall ascend up into heaven or descend? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Thank you, Joe. Let me do it again. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? And who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And this is the neat part. What is his son's name? Can you tell? And we're here to continue to worship and adore the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the sign. This is that in all things he might have the preeminence. And there is I made a little list here of things I wanted to talk about. When I first started to come to the chapel, good morning, Joe. When I first started coming to the chapel, I fell in love immediately with the worship service. But I also ran into trouble at the worship service. I was looking for the little flock, which I have no idea how they mysteriously disappeared. But coming out of a Baptist background, one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite hymns is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, on which the Prince of Glory died. And I was so excited, I saw it. I said, can we sing this? And we sang it, but I got glared at. Until at the, I'm not going to mention who did it. Okay, but he was like, I was really upset with you because it says, when I survey the runner's cross. So there's no I when we come together to worship the Lord. And he said, but then the other verse came by, see from his head, his hands and feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. And he said, so I take it back, friend. So, and then the progress of time that we made in our coming together, where we have really begun to focus on, we haven't lost the climax of our meetings when we think about the death and victory that Christ did for us on the cross. He died 3 days later, he rose from the dead. But to be able to think about his loveliness and his name, that's why I wanted you to sing the verse, "Thy name we love, Lord Jesus," that talks about all the wondrous things you are. He is. One of the wonderful things he is. When I think about, do I really want to do this today? And Randy, again, through the Spirit's leading, came to my rescue that we signed together in number 74, 75. And Jesus, that name is love. Jesus, my Lord, all names above. Let me do that again. Jesus, thy name is love. Jesus, our Lord. Jesus, all names above. Jesus is Lord. So I took that as a sign, because I'm a sign seeker, that this was something that I wanted to share. Okay. Then the other neat thing was Joe talked about the fear of man, that we don't have the fear of man. And then what is Christ to us? Now, I'm not picking on anybody for sure, but I had made up a bunch of these to pass out. And they mysteriously disappeared. So if you want one, I would be more than happy to redo this. This was done, I believe, because I'm going back 35 years of my life to a devotional that I was reading from the life of Prince Charles. As a teenager, he was struggling with sin issues. And he would do something wrong, and then he would try to make up for it. And the vicar said, that's not the way it works. If you have a problem with vanity, okay, and you realize what's going on, then you go out into your realm of sin and vanity, and then you repent. You don't repent by trying to do something better. You come back through the vanity by confessing, I was vain, I was wishful, and then what's neat is trying to find a name that fulfills that vanity, what you were looking for, that temporary feeling. And I just want to read a couple of the names of the Lord in this. And it starts with the middle, I am. And it says, I am your wisdom, I am your righteousness, I am your hope, I am your shield, your counselor, your keeper, your song, your high tower. Okay, so you get the idea of what's going on. And what's neat about this, as I grew in my worship for the Lord, how I could see what was going on in my life, both good and bad. And then to be able to focus during the course of the week on what is it the Lord is trying to show me? What am I trying to see from Him that I can bring those little thoughts that we can think about and worship together? As we've been thinking this month is the character quality of obedience. How do we see Christ being obedient? And then to see how the flavor passes through our time together around that thought. And then joy comes out of it. And then peace comes out of it. And I think that's really exciting. And, of course, the culmination then is it all happens because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Okay, the last verse I wanted to look at with you is in John chapter 14. If you want to turn and read that with me, John chapter 14. Again, thinking about the amazing love of the Lord Jesus Christ, His power, His grace, and then His authority. And John 14, starting at verse 13, says, "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that," let me do that again, "and whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Amazing love that the Lord has for us. Amazing hope and all the power of forgiveness we have. When we mess up, we can come back to the Lord and say, "Yes, I did. I forgive me. Then help me to see you." Thank you, guys.
It's amazing how God changes our perspective during the course of the morning. And I was just thinking the other day, I think about it a lot. In my family, there's all types, my extended family. Outside of my own family, maybe I don't think any of them are saved. But there's no one, except for one person in my family, that's into medicine. There's no nurses, no doctors, except for one. And my nephew, his child, he married his childhood sweetheart, and she is a dermatologist. And I didn't know her very well. She's from a Jewish family. And she not only is a dermatologist, but her cousin is a dermatologist, and her uncle is a dermatologist. So that's a big thing in their family. So, but she's a very down-to-earth girl. And one time she came to a family function and in my mother's house. And I didn't know her well, so she was pregnant with twins at that time, okay? And she has her practice in Manhattan, okay? So, and seeing this girl as a teenager grow up and then go to school, and that's not the big deal. It's the issue is you see this person as a teenager, and now, you know, she's practicing medicine. And so she's pregnant with twins, very big. I remember she was close to having. I said, well, when are you going to quit work? I mean, having a practice in dermatology, you don't know who's going to walk through the door and what's going to walk through the door, okay? And, you know, you have a couple babies in your tummy there, and, you know, isn't there a little bit of caution you need? And she looked me in the eye and said, it's part of the job. And I was taken. Now, this person's still not saved, probably. But she knew where her job was, or her career was, or her calling, or whatever it is you want to call it. And I'd always thought about, you know, her sitting there, and she would go into work, and right up until the last month, receiving patients and making diagnosis and doing the job. You imagine Janie saying, oh, well, I only want wellness checks here. See you later. any mother knows they die for their children, any father, no matter what happens. But it really struck me. And I was just thinking this morning, thinking my own things, and knowing that there are others that are have many more problems than I do. And I just remember the day we were in men's prayer meeting and Helen relayed to her husband in front of us that her tumor was malignant. Nothing to say. And God has brought them through it and continues to bring them through it. But my message today is that we haven't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And those that are sick need a doctor. And we're all sick, and we need a doctor. And no man can point to another, as the Word of God says. It's just like accusing a priest, and you'd have to go back in the Old Testament to understand what that means. But in the end, that we put others first. And it's amazing when we hear about others' problems, how it humbles us, knowing that we could be in the same place. And it's only through grace that you're saved by faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. And it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And we're all sick. And it's how amazing how God knows how to minimize our own problems. When one member of the body hurts, the whole body better hurt. And, this is not a tearjerker message. I don't think much gets done through that. I've learned over the years, but we've all have our gifts. We all have our strengths and weaknesses. There are certain situations I can deal with every day in Kensington. There are others that I can't go near. And I know my place in the kingdom of God. I hope I do anyway. That doesn't mean we don't grow and take on other things. But in the end, We all have our gifts and our strengths, our talents, but spiritual gifts, that's a specific theological term, and we should stick with that. Mine is evangelism, always has been, always will be. No one's had to teach me. I just went it and did it, okay? And that's because of the Holy Spirit. And you, every one of you guys have your gifts. But we all have to have compassion on one another and put others first. And the Lord is just, you know, I just like to go. And in fact, I was thinking of other verses, but I just like to go back to Isaiah 41. So do not fear. What was it, 41:10 that we did today? What was the memory verse? Yeah. So do not fear, for I am with you, and do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced, and those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you will search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand. Isn't that great? He takes a hold of our right hand. And this morning, I like to say to all of us, in the midst of our turmoils, and even some of it that we're responsible for, and let's face it, you know, even Paul said, he goes, I don't even judge myself. Of course, you know, you got to be repentant of any sin up front, but in the end, our consciences can't, like I said this morning, our consciences can't be trusted to a certain extent, and that only when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ will everything be cleared out. Yes, we've got to check our motives moving forward, whatever we're supposed to do for the kingdom of God, that try to keep the peace, submit to whatever God brings at us, and you know, we're only responsible for our own decisions, not for others. And none of us are babies in these four walls. We all know what we're doing and why we're doing it. And in the end, you know, each one of us are going to stand before God. I'm not going to be able to blame God for you. You're not going to be able to blame you for God for what's going on in my life. That I stand before God before what I do. We're all mature enough, most of us, to know and understand what our calling is. But first, we have to become saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We must become saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But this is an amazing verse. I'll be looking for my enemies and I won't be able to find them. And many, many times God has brought that back. And just one more verse. In Isaiah 30:15, maybe we ought to turn to that. Isaiah 30:15. I don't have my red glasses with me today. This is what the Sovereign Lord said, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest in your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. No, we will flee on horses. I'm not going to get on to that. But there comes a point in our life when in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. And I can tell you exactly where this was, or I believe, I don't think, they're quite sure what he was speaking, but Gedaliah was in charge of the Israelite remnant, and the Babylonians to come and put this gentleman in place over the Israelites. And this gentleman said, just stay calm, just till the fields, and I'll represent you before the Babylonians, and everything will be okay. And God told him through Jeremiah, stay in the land, don't fly to Egypt. Stay in the land. To the Jews that were in Babylon, he said, pray for that city. If it prospers, you'll prosper. Imagine saying that about Babylon. But the Israelites, what happened, an Ishmaelite came, I forget his name, and killed this governor, and they all wanted to scatter. And Jeremiah said, don't flee to Egypt. In quietness and trust is your strength. But he said, no, we're going to flee on horses. So, and that's, I'm not saying that in anything in particular what was talked about today, personally or otherwise. But in the midst of our situation, God is looking for quietness and trust and repentance. And repentance is a big word. Of course, if you're not saved, you turn from your sin and you turn to Jesus Christ. Two parts to repentance, turning from sin and turning toward God. Those that turn from their sin and don't turn toward God will not be able to continue on in their own strength. And there are those that don't repent of their sin and turn to God, and they're living a lie, because a good tree can't bear bad fruit and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. So what I'd like to say today is, in repentance and rest and quietness and trust. And that's been a real verse in my meditation lately. And I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that sometimes God brings situations in our lives or in others' lives to let us realize how minuscule our problems are. And I just thank the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to be sensitive. When one member of the body hurts, it all hurts. And if we're not doing that, you can be rest assured we will be disciplined. I'm sorry to say that. Just like little Isla has to get up in the morning and get ready for school. She's learning. And sometimes mommy's got to push her along a little bit. In the same way, God treats us the same way. And so we thank the Lord today that we're one body. And when one member hurts, they all hurt. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you know us from beginning to end, inside and out, Lord. And I just want to pray for Helen, that you'd help her. Pray for her daughters. Help them. Bless Victor too. And Lord, you know those that are in great need right now. Great need, God. And we pray for mercy in their lives. God, have mercy, Lord. Who are we even to stand before you? We're nobody, and we're sinners, saved by grace. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for being unthankful and for worrying about my own problems, when others have much greater problems than I do, Lord. Because in the end, we will all learn, Lord, what it's like that when one member hurts, we all hurt, Lord. Forgive us for doing that, Lord. Help us to have mercy on others and to pray for them and to help them wherever we can. And Lord, if we're not gifted in a certain area, we can always pray. And you know us from beginning to end, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the ability at 9:30 in the morning just to worship you and praise you for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you're doing. Amen.
think I'll be brief. So I guess some background. So Olivia wrote a poem for school a couple weeks ago. That's not what I'm going to read up here, but it got me thinking about poems again. I don't know if it's because, I guess when I was her age or just young in general, I had no appreciation for poems at all, right? That was the last thing I wanted to do. So I'm just compensating for it now, maybe. I don't know. So it just got me thinking about poems. It was a really good poem. She got a really good grade on it. I still have hope that she'll be a math person one day. Not giving up on that. But she's good at language arts, poetry, that type of stuff. So anyway, it got me thinking about a poem that I found. I don't know when I found it. And I may have shared this before at Roxborough. I don't remember. So I'm just going to read it without much comment. So it goes, I am longing for heaven, the land of repose, where peace like a river eternally flows. When landed in glory, ah, then shall I prove 'tis Christ that makes heaven the heaven of love. I long to depart to the land of the free, and there with my Savior forever to be, to witness, engaged in its hallowed employ. 'Tis Christ that makes heaven the heaven of joy. How happy, away from the world and its din, all sorrow shut out, and all blessings shut in, to know in its fullness that never will cease. 'Tis Christ that makes heaven the heaven of peace. From labor and turmoil forever away, to bask in the light of a never-ending day, confessing while joining the song of the blessed, 'tis Christ that makes heaven the heaven of rest. Ah, yes, 'twill be happy, so different from here, his name and his image forever to bear, and own through the ages which never will close. 'Tis Christ that makes heaven the home of repose. I really like that poem. That's it.
No, we won't hear Olivia's. Come on, where is it? Sing or read it.
One day. sing hymn number 106 in the as well. 106.
So just a simple thought. Didn't plan to share this, so I won't turn to a lot of Bible verses. But these verses, so in Romans chapter 11, you don't have to turn to these if you don't want to, but in Romans chapter 11, at the end of the chapter, you know, Paul's been writing about how God has worked out this amazing plan for the Gentiles, and what he's done with the Jews and what his plan is with the Jews. But I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about what Paul said at the very end of that chapter. He comes to this conclusion, and Paul's just thinking about the amazing wisdom of God and how it's so past anything that we can imagine. And he says, he breaks out, and Paul does this. I love this about Paul. He breaks out into worship through his everywhere in his epistles as he thinks about God and who he is and what he's like. He says in verse 33 of chapter 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him? Again, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." His wisdom and his knowledge are past finding out. Just things that the Lord has really hit me with over the past years. It's just amazing. Anytime I think I understand something, I'm probably about as far away from understanding it as I can be. Because when we try to understand things in our own minds, we inevitably, you know, in our human mind, we go the wrong direction. You know, we think that the way up is to go up, to go up. But we find out, like if we look through the Gospels, that Jesus teaches the way up is down, right? So if you want to be the greatest, you need to become the lowest, right? The smallest. And he says, those who want to be the greatest, they are going to wind up being the servant of all, right? So the only way that we can be lifted up is if we humble ourselves. It's amazing, right? So the way up is down. We think that, you know, Jesus gives the Great Commission at the end of the Gospels, and he says, go into all the world. But they don't immediately go out. Instead, they go in, right? So you see them in Acts chapter 2, all gathered together, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Because without his power, they could do nothing, right? They needed that. They needed to go in first and seek him and his will and his power and who he is before they could go out in power. So the way out was in. And the one that the Lord is really, he reminds me of this all the time, but, you know, sometimes he hits you a little harder with things. When we kind of get along in our Christian lives and we think that the way forward is forward, right? Like when I get stuck, and this is a common theme in things that I share from this platform, but it's because the Lord really is working on me about this, and he has been for many, many years. But we often get to a point where we start to trust in ourselves again, right? So we get saved, and then we move forward in our Christian life, and we know what the Lord wants us to do, and we try harder and harder, and we just continually fail. And so we think, of course, that the way to overcome that is just to try harder and harder. Like, eventually, I'm going to just keep trying. In fact, I heard a song, a Christian song. It sounded really good when I first heard it. And it was, Lord, I keep trying and failing, keep trying and failing. And the Lord says to him, try one more time. And I'm like, well, that sounded good, but totally wrong. Right? Completely wrong. Like, what kind of heresy are we listening to in these songs that we listen to on the radio? But what Jesus says is, okay, you're failing and failing, so give up. Like, stop. Stop trying and let me do this in you. And I was at a particular point where I was just, you know, blocked. Everybody gets blocked in their Christian life, right? Where you're just hitting your head against a stone wall. And whatever you think of this, you know, you can take it with a grain of salt. But the Lord said to me, like, you know, he puts words in your head sometimes, and he said, go back to go forward. And I didn't know what that meant. But then I realized what he was talking about was Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. And verse 2, I should say. It's this, that, and maybe this is for somebody here today, that if you're blocked in your Christian life, you're not understanding how to move forward, this is the key. You need to go back to go forward. You can't just keep trying. Butting your head against the stone wall, it's not going to work. So look back. Look back. This is what Paul asked the Galatians. This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, trying in your own strength to do this, or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? So if we think back to the moment of salvation, it's easy for us to think back to that, right? Most of us have a very distinct point in time that we can remember when we were completely hopeless and helpless and lost, completely lost, without God, without any hope. And then he saved us, right? We came to him and he said, I will do everything. Give up on yourself. Give up on your self-effort. You cannot save yourself. There's nothing you can do for yourself. You are a sinner. You deserve death and punishment for all of eternity. The only thing you can do is give up on yourself and fall into my arms and let me save you. And then he carries us into eternal life. And at that moment, there was power that came into our lives, and he changes us. He transforms us from the inside out by no strength or no effort on our own, right? And that's the key. So if we need to go, if we want to go forward in our Christian life, we have to go backward and recognize that at that point, when we completely gave up on ourself and allowed him to carry us forward, that was the only way forward. I couldn't possibly move forward without him carrying me. And so it's just a reminder the Lord has given to me to always think back about what it was like at the beginning of my life with him. What was I trying to do? Nothing. Because I realized I couldn't do anything, that he had to do it all. And so by giving up on myself, not giving up, I mean, we certainly don't want to like throw in the towel, right? And say, you know what, Christian life's too hard. I'm never going to be holy. I'm never going to be able to do these things God wants me to do. I'm just going to give up. That's not what I mean. I mean giving up on myself, where I say, I can't do this, but you can. You can. And so it's really been helpful to me to think about that. Anytime it happens a lot where you just start, you realize after a while, you're just beating your head against a stone wall. You're never going to be able to get through that wall, no matter how many times you smash your head against it. You got to go back to go forward, to remember that he's the only one that can open up a door for us to go through that stone wall, right? And so we need to allow him the power of his spirit to move us forward in the Christian life. So just a simple thought, and thinking about the wisdom of God, is our first thought, of course, is what's the right thing to do? What's the smart thing to do? It's almost always the opposite. Okay, God's wisdom is so far beyond us. I mean, look at what he did with Jesus, right? To save the world, he sends the Son of God, comes and allows himself to be crucified by a sinful man. That makes no sense to us, right? Until the Holy Spirit illuminates that to us, and then all of a sudden we're like, wow, you know, God is so wise. And it's the same thing, that we think that there's a certain way to do things in life, but if we just allow the Lord to show us, we'll see that it's almost always exactly the opposite of what we think. So, you know, if you're stuck, if you're somewhere in your life where you just can't move forward, go back. Remember what it was like when you first gave your life to Jesus and said, take me and do with me whatever you need to do, but you save me, and he did. That's the same attitude of faith and trust. Trust, that's the key to everything, right? It opens every single door in the Christian life. Without trust, we'll never move forward. And trust is that, it's exactly that, just giving up on myself and throwing myself into his arms. So let's go ahead and close the meeting in prayer. I think we're at that time. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity to hear from your words. Thank you for these brothers that got up and shared with us what you had shared with them. And just, it's such an encouraging time, Lord. And just pray that we would take these lessons to heart and take them with us. And thank you for just this reminder to trust. In quietness and in trust will be your strength. I just thank you for that, Lord, that you take all of the burden. And Jesus, you did everything for us on the cross. There's nothing left for us to do but to receive from your hand and then to step forward in faith. So I just pray that you would help us to do that, Lord. If there's anyone here who's struggling, be with them in a mighty way, in a powerful way this week. And Lord, I just, again, thank you for all the ways that you show us how much you love us and care for us. And I just pray that each one here would go out in your strength and in your power and just recognize your love around them as they go through this world that's so dark and so hard sometimes to navigate. But we just thank you that you are faithful even when we're faithless, and we just look to you. Our eyes are on you. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.